All right, folks, I'm gonna go ahead and get started. I'll apologize up front for the gravelly nature of my voice. I've been yelling at people in smoky rooms for most of the week. Where are you from? What do you work on? That sort of thing. So I'll try not to be too coughy and gravelly sounding. So this session had about 200 people registered for it. We almost got that many. So I would like to thank all of you for taking the time, hanging in there, showing up on time, 9 a.m. on the Friday after the party last night and so forth. You guys are awesome. So the good news is your time will be well spent this morning. My name is Brandon Kaler, and I'm a program manager with Microsoft. I work in Office 365 security. And the problem space that I work on is essentially customer security risk analytics. So we've had a lot of feedback from our customers over the last year, at least the last year that I've been working on this problem, that they have a hard time figuring out what to do, right? They're coming to the cloud, and they have a lot of anxiety about the risk that their data is being exposed to when they come to the cloud. When you're on-prem, you have total control. When you're in the cloud, there's this new trust relationship that you have with your cloud provider. And you want to know that your cloud provider is doing everything that they can do to protect themselves. Now, that's only half the problem. Microsoft is enormously invested in making sure that your data is protected in our data centers. And we have huge amounts of very fancy technology to make sure that it's not breached from there. The problem is that when you come to the cloud, how you manage your own risk, when you're like what you have to do when you come to the cloud, it's not as clear, right? So what we found last year is that there are at least six different security centers that you as security administrators have to know about, have to sort of go and find, hey, this thing's on auto, I don't like that. That basically highlight what the security capabilities are of the platform. All right, I'm gonna have to fight this thing while it's trying to auto advance. So you've got the admin center, you've got the security compliance center, you've got the Intune center, you've got the back button, you've got the Microsoft Azure Security Center, you've got the Azure Active Directory Privileged Identity Manager, you've got the Identity Management Security Center. It's like six different places you have to go to manage this stuff. Yeah, is there like a button somewhere?
Talk, I'll do it.
Okay, awesome. This is my marketing manager, AJ. He's helping me out. Look at that. My next session, in another hour, I will do that in advance. So, brilliant. I love it. Okay, so six different things. When our customers come to us, they would basically yell at me. They would say, I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do inside of the service to secure myself. I feel like there's a lot of things, but I don't know where they are. I don't know how to turn them on. I don't know how to basically understand which one's more valuable than another. So we all got together and we said, what if we put all the controls in one place and created a framework, a scoring framework that allowed you to figure out this thing is better than that thing, and that thing is way worse than this other thing down here. But to have it all in one place and to include Azure Active Directory controls, Exchange Online controls, SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business, Skype for Business, everything that exists in Office 365 in one place. And that's where we came up with Secure Score. We also had this sense that traditional security analytics spend a lot of time sort of yelling at you, right? They go and they do an analysis, and they have a bunch of findings, and they present it to you like critical and moderate and low, and you spend all your time sort of in this reaction mode. It feels almost like a detection, right? Where you like feel like you have to fix that one thing right now. And that one thing is almost always the hardest thing to do, the most complicated, the most expensive. It takes forever to resolve the top two things. We wanted to make it more like a game, right? We wanted to sort of gamify it. We know that you security administrator folks are a little bit nerdy, and you like to win points and get better and sort of achieve things over time. And we thought that the score was a great way for you to not only have some goal-seeking behaviors, but also to give you a way to communicate to your users and to your executives that we're getting better, at least getting better incrementally, slowly, over time. So that's where the score came from. So the score basically figures out what services you're using, so you only see things that are relevant to you, right? So if you're an Exchange-only customer, You won't have SharePoint and OneDrive for business controls. You won't have Skype for business controls, and vice versa for the other ones. We went out and we inventoried all the controls that exist in the services, about 77 of them. Now, the granularity of those controls is fairly high, right? So there's a control in there that says, use DLP, right? DLP is a great way to prevent data loss. There are a lot of different configuration settings that exist inside of DLP, but if you know what DLP is, DLP is data loss prevention, by the way, you get points for that. Congratulations, it's half the battle to sort of understand that the service has that capability and that you've done some experimentation with it to understand what its capabilities are. So we try to keep the granularity of the controls that we've identified at a manageable level. So we took all 77 of those controls, and then in the back end, we measure the extent to which your particular tenancy, basically the extent to which you have adopted those controls. And we give it a score. So the numerator of the score is essentially the addition of the controls that you have either fully or partially met, and the denominator is essentially adding up all of the controls that are relevant to you, that you have that are attached to SKUs, essentially, that you have purchased. All right. So it's a very action-oriented thing, and I'm going to demo it here in a couple of minutes. Just being able to understand this is how many things I've done and how many things I can do. We want you to actually go do those things. We want to cheapen the cost of actually taking these actions. And I'll talk more about that when we get into the demo. So the actions are designed to be two clicks. So you look at a control. There's a lot of words in the secure score. We try to explain things, which is fairly rare for administrative tools. So we tell you exactly why we want you to adopt it. We tell you what we observed was true about your particular configuration, what kind of points you're going to get, or what points we think it's worth. And then we give you like a learn more button where we sort of explain, this is what you're about to do, this is how it's going to impact your users, and then a single click and it happens, right? So analyzing your score, once you have taken action and improved your score, you need to take credit for it. Taking credit is one of the most important things that you as security administrators need to do in your jobs. And so we wanted you to be able to use the score to express to folks what was the case for any given particular period of time, right? So to be able to go back and say, here is what our configuration was on this day, and here is what our configuration looks like today. And here's the difference. Here's how we got better, right? So it's not just this abstract number, the score went up 10 points or whatever. You have the ability to drill down and frame up exactly the specific configuration baseline changes that you've made over that same period of time. All right, so that's it for the talky talks. It's now time to demo my favorite part. All right, so this is the secure score. It is in an open preview, which means that it's available to anybody with an Office 365 subscription. You have to go to you have to know the URL and you have to go to it. So it's not linked at the moment from the admin center, the security compliance center, any of that kind of stuff. It will eventually be linked from there. But for now, if you go to securescore.office.com, you should be able to log in. It does require global admin privileges, so just make sure you've got that. But we calculate the score on your behalf for all of our many millions of customers every night. Score refreshes once per day, so when you take an action, you have to wait a little while. It's not instant gratification. We'll get there eventually. But there is a little bit of an advantage in that Microsoft is calculating it on your behalf. So you get this sort of like third-party auditing vibe going on. All right, so the score has an onboarding experience. It's basically the slides I just showed. It talks a little bit about what it is, how you can take action to improve it. There is a disclaimer in here, and this is important. The secure score, despite its name, does not represent a guarantee of breachability or non-breachability. So please don't misunderstand that if you have a perfect score, that there's no way that you can be breached, right? Being breached is essentially something that no one can guarantee will not happen to you, right? Everyone is breachable. So the secure score represents essentially a way to talk about the things that you've done, the positive things that you've done to mitigate some of that risk, but it doesn't represent a measure of how breachable you are, all right? Okay, So that's the lawyers made me say that. So the score has a bunch of widgets on a two-page experience. The one that we want you to sort of burn into your mind and sort of get really familiar with is what we call the summary graph in the upper left. And this basically shows you what your score is. This one is 132. It's extraordinarily high because it's my test tenant and I've turned on all the things, right? So this is an E3 test tenant, so it's got a reasonable amount of features that are enabled on it, which is why I have a relatively high denominator. We'll have a little what's new widget up here in the upper right. When we do deployments and we add new controls and we add new remediation workflows, we'll highlight those there. One of the things that we wanted to emphasize is that the secure score is mitigating real risk in the world. So it isn't just about getting points. It's about mitigating real world threats. You're all being attacked right now, and the secure score can help you mitigate those attacks. And so we've taken some pains to basically explain what those are. There's about, 14 or so broad attack categories, and they're ones that you're likely familiar with. Elevation of privilege, account breach, data exfiltration, password cracking, phishing, and the like. So throughout the experience, you'll see these threats that are listed here, and you can drill into those and get a nice explanation that you can then use to communicate with your downstream, either your downstream users or to your executives to help them contextualize the value that you're adding, right? When you take an action, you're mitigating a discrete threat, and this is what that threat means to your particular company. Down here on the right is the comparison graph, and my score is on the left, your score will be on the left, and on the right is the O365 average. So if you take all of the secure scores across all the millions of Office 365 customers and average them, they currently come out to be about 16. And you're probably thinking, wow, that's really low, because that's what I thought. That's really, really low. So some of this has to do with how many controls we have instrumented, which is about, it might be up to 30 now or 31 out of the 77. So there's still a lot of controls left to go get data for and include as part of the data model. But some of it is that our customers don't really know what's available in the service. Everything that's on the list is something that you can do today as part of your normal workflow, and we just haven't positioned them in a way that customers can find them very easily and take an action on them. So our hope is that 16 will go up. That's my accountability, is to make sure you are able to make your secure scores go up and in turn make the whole services scores go up. All right, so this is the kind of heart and soul of the secure score. This is our action widget, and at the very top of the action widget, we have a modeler. The modeler allows you to make this thing feel not overwhelming, right? So if you crank it all the way to the right, this list of controls is gigantic, right? Your list might even be longer. I am showing you all the controls that are in the baseline, even if I'm not measuring it. So you'll see several controls up here that say not measured or not scored, I think. Let's see, what does it actually say? Not scored. Not scored means that you can go do that thing, but you won't get any points for it today. I'm not collecting that data on you in the back end, right? So you can see all the things. You should look at all the things and go explore all the things, go do all the things. But you may not necessarily get credit for it, at least not yet. But when we did our usability testing, we did usability testing on this. How cool is that? What we found is that even with a 23 action list or something, that most of our customers were like, man, I got no time for that. I'm a busy person. I got about 20 minutes today that I have to actually look at this. I need a smaller set of actions. And so we give you a very easy way to do that, and it's goal seeking. So you see what my current score is, and you see that if I do these three actions in my list, my score is gonna go up this much. It's gonna go up to 181. So if you have in your mind, I want my score to go up a little bit today, you can even trim it down to be like one action. So this one action here will make my score go up, you know, whatever that is, like a lot. Is it 10, 15 points, something like that? It'll go up even more. So there's that. Okay. So the actions that are in the queue, they all have the sort of same experience. You blow them open. There's an explanation there of why we think you should do this particular thing, an observation about what your particular configuration was. In this particular case, I had 5 admins out of 16 that do not have MFA enabled. And if I go enable those 5 admins, I will get an additional 16 points. So this is kind of an unusual control. This is the admin MFA one. This one's worth 50 points. No other control comes close, right? This is the most effective way to protect your tenancy. And this has everything to do with the most common prominent threat we see is the theft of admin credentials, which leads to whatever they want to do. The attacker can do literally anything inside your tenancy once they have that admin cred. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got the accounts or the threats listed out here, so you can drill into those. There's a learn more button on all of these. So we didn't want it to be like one click and then suddenly you're doing things that can be potentially annoying for your users. So we have this experience where there's a blowout that explains what you're about to change and how it's going to affect your users. Now, for places where we don't have what we call a fully implemented remediation, there'll be a link to the place where you go do that thing, right? So right now, admin MFA, there's only one way to do it. Well, there's two ways. You can either do it through PowerShell or you can do it through an Azure AD hosted web page that allows you to sort of click a couple of buttons and enable MFA. We're fairly close to making this single click where when you click launch now, it'll say enable now. It will enable MFA just for the admins that don't have it, right? So there's a couple of like nuances here. How many of you have some sort of a federated domain setup? Quite a few of you. Okay. So in those federated domains, you're not using Microsoft's cloud MFA in most cases. You're using your on-prem MFA. Thankfully, the Secure Score is smart enough to give you credit for MFA if you have ADFS or if you have what amounts to a federated domain. When you connect your federated domain, there's a config option that says supports MFA. And basically, the Secure Score, when we do our calculation in the back end, looks to see that users in that federated domain, if that federated domain supports MFA, we assume that you're using MFA and give you credit for it, right? So, okay, so two clicks in theory for all these remediations. And if we don't have a fully implemented remediation, we at least take you to the right place to go implement that particular thing. All right, I will mention this filter here. This is a multi-column filter. The service basically has three core entities that you should care about: accounts, data, and devices. So you can filter the controls based on that particular entity type. So accounts will show you all of the account protections that exist in Azure AD, Exchange, SharePoint, et cetera, and the same is true for data and devices. We also got a lot of feedback that you don't want to be yelled at by your users when you turn on some security feature that's annoying to them, like a 25 character password requirement or something like that. So we've categorized all the controls in a couple of different ways, one of which is this has low user impact or it has moderate user impact. There's no high user impact things in here. So that's probably good, but you can filter that way. There's also this distinction between advanced and standard. So standard means part of the SKU, right? You've basically bought it. It's included as part of the native security features, and the vast majority of these are those. That being said, there are a series of advanced features that exist in either premium, it's basically premium upsell purchases like Azure AD Premium, or they exist as part of upsell SKUs like our E5 offering, which includes advanced threat protection, which has safe links and safe attachments, and customer lockbox and the like. So we have taken pains. We're not trying to necessarily just upsell you for the sake of upsell. We're trying to position the value of the security features that exist in those premium SKUs, right? So advanced threat protection is an effective protection. There's some very specific scenarios that most of our customers experience. There is no buy E5 button in here. There's a control that says if you adopt safe links or safe attachments, this is the kinds of threats that it can mitigate, and this is the kind of point value we think that it represents, right? So when you're talking about these advanced upsell kind of SKUs or offerings, this allows you to connect it to a real security value, okay? All right, are there any questions? This is a small enough audience where I can field them in line. Yeah, go ahead. If I had a piece of swag to give you, I would like hawking it out to you. It's a good question. So the question was, what's the ranking here, right? Am I always going to see it in the same ranking or whatever? The answer is yes. So The way that the data model works in the back end, I've taken all 77 of those controls, and based on the effectiveness of the control to mitigate the particular threat, I've given it a point number. And that number is, I made it up, right? It's like, it doesn't matter whether it's, you're dealing with like decimals or you're dealing with like, you know, five figure numbers or whatever. Just from a like a psychology standpoint, the numbers fall between like 1 and 50 is the kind of point range that we're talking about. And we experimented with a bunch of different data models where like we normalized it so you'd always be out of 100 and so forth. And what we wanted to do was to have the score be stable as attached to your action, right? So if you did nothing, the score wouldn't like go way down. And if you did take action, that you were able to see an improvement right away. And the normalized models, it just made it hard to move. Like you had to take a lot of action to sort of get it to go up. So we started with that. And then we took and figured out, oh, I have a piece of swag. Look at this. The marketing guy delivers. All right, I'm gonna hang down here. Doobity doop. Here you go, thanks for the question. So secondly, we looked at the controls and their impact to users. And we basically tiered them into three tiers. There's core, there's defense in depth, and then there's advanced. And they always basically stack rank according to that. After we got that categorization, I basically just put them in an order, stack rank, literally 1 to 77. It's always up for debate. When you go in here and you're like, you've got this control way too low, or this other one way too high, or the points are wrong on this or whatever, I wanna hear that, because I feel like that's a better conversation, right? Like that's a negotiation about whether something should be at 11 versus 14 in this stack. It has been through, like I've had a conversation enough times where I feel fairly good that we've got it, you know, we're like 80% of the way there, but that's essentially it. So you're right, no matter who you are, the controls will always appear in the same order, but if you have completed a control, it won't turn up in your action list, right? So your view of it will be a little bit different than everybody else's. I'll talk more about the roadmap features, which will also give you a way to exclude things. So if you're like, I am never gonna do that, quit shoving it in my face, I wanna exclude it, you'll be able to do that in the future. Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding the multi-factor authentication for all users, do you get scored based upon the number of users you have completed it on?
Correct. Yeah, that's a good question. So there's basically two scoring models that exist. Binary ones where you get... Oh, sorry. No, sorry, that's a good point. So the question is, for something like MFA, can you get partial credit, right? If I have half of my users have MFA and half don't, do I have to get all of them to get the full score or not? And the answer is, for certain types of controls where it's basically user-based, and there's a lot of legitimate scenarios where, you know, you're gonna be like, this set of users will never have MFA, just, you know, because of the nature of their work, they're logging in on like iPads on a tarmac somewhere or whatever, the score will give you partial credit for that. Most of them have it's either on or off, although there are some behavioral ones which are somewhat hard to get. I tried to make it so that the controls that are set it and forget it, that you don't have to really manage them very much, have a higher point value than things that you have to go and fiddle with all the time, right? So there's a bunch of controls that are about reviewing reports, reviewing audit data to sort of monitor what's going on inside of your tenancy. Those are relatively low. Like you have to do that every week or every other week. You get 1 to maybe 5 points or something like that. So if you're on vacation, your score doesn't tank, right? It just sort of has a little dip, and you can make a note in there that says, I was out on vacation. I missed these handful of things, and they'll see it tick back up. Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. The score is functionally unaware of your current breach state or any alerts or whatever. We originally had some like alert monitoring that existed in it. And what we discovered is that the customer's alerts are in a bunch of different places. So it made more sense to just be like, we're going to measure in like whatever the service has, so basically the state of the service, and we'll go from there. All right, so I'm gonna show you guys the second page here. This is the, oh yeah, go ahead. Why is it only available for global admins? It's a good question. So the question is, why is this only available for global admins? And the short answer is that, at least in this preview phase, that we wanted every action to work for whoever visited it. And the security admin role doesn't have the ability to take all of the actions that the global admin role is. We're working hard, we're pushing hard to get that security admin role to do literally this set of things, right? So there's things that an admin can do, like create a new user and things like that. Whoever does this doesn't need to create new users. They need to be able to modify roles. They need to be able to set password policy. They need to be able to, you know, create MDM and DLP policies and things like that. But that role definition doesn't work for this right now. And so we basically took the lowest common denominator, which is the global admin role. Now, that being said, I've gotten a non-trivial amount of feedback this week from customers saying, man, I want to just be able to send this to my compliance officer or to my CEO just to come check it out, like come and look at the stuff and learn a little bit about, you know, the status of our security. So there's a need for what amounts to a global admin read-only, a read-only role for this that basically lets other people do it. So, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So the question is, can I export this data? Like, this is great. This is basically a baseline of my security. I'm so excited. Can I get it into a different platform? The short answer is yes, in a ghetto way now, and in the future, in a much more elegant way. So today, on this score analyzer page, this has a couple of components here. There's an export button that allows you to export to PDF or CSV. So when you export to CSV, this is what the data ends up looking like. You get the name of the control, full description, the action category, the action score, the impact, and whether or not you've done it. All right. So our hope is to expose more columns in the data model so you see everything that we see from a reporting perspective. When we first built this export, that seemed fine. Say again. Oh, I see. Yes. That's good feedback. So we're building an API, basically, to allow this to be consumed at scale for every day, right? That export, basically, you have to pick the day, export the data. It's tedious. It's great if you're just, like, coming in on a Friday, you want to send a status report or whatever, and you send out a quick, you know, take a screenshot of the summary, export the PDF, attach it, send it to your boss, and away you go. But we feel like a more authentic version of this is to put the Office 365 Secure Score data next to other sorts of data, right? Like to be able to collect state information about your on-prem environments, about your Salesforce instances, your other cloud apps, and put that all together in the place where you do all of your other security management, your on-prem SIEM, if you have a cloud app security broker, any of those sorts of things. So, we already have a reasonably good relationship with a bunch of third-party security ISVs, and I'll show you guys a list of those. And our hope is that we'll prod them to consume this data as a first party and to make it so that you can, wherever you do your other security reporting, that the Secure Score will just become a native part of that. You won't have to do anything special. The Secure Score will just turn up wherever it is you normally do your other stuff. All right, yeah, go ahead. So the question is, on this other page, it looks like something says not scored, but there's a score there. So the score that's on here is basically the point value assigned to that particular control. So what you'll find is everything that says not scored, it looks exactly the same. The as observed value will say not measured, and your score will be zero out of whatever the baseline is. So that second number you're actually seeing there is the baseline. What we think that control will be worth when we start measuring it. Yeah. All right. So a couple more things on the score analyzer page. This is what we call the mountain graph. Hopefully your score won't be a mountain, but more like a slope, or at least maybe half a mountain, the upward slope of the mountain. You can change the time frame that you're actually measuring for. We allow you to communicate about your score versus the Office 365 baseline. Our hope is that will be some competitiveness. If your score is right around the baseline, gives you an opportunity to improve it and make yourself look good. We do a breakout of the score by entity type, account data device, and we give you a sense of this is what my score is along accounts, And this is how many actions I've completed out of accounts. So you can see here, I've really not done many of these and a lot more of the device ones. You can also go back in time. So if I click on this day, this is my score for September the 8th. And you see that this score is the one that's a lot lower. The difference between here and this particular day, which is today, is the account score is much higher than it was before. So at the bottom, this is, you can think about this like your full audit record for that particular day. There's a completed actions that show you everything that you have full or partial points on. You can think of these as controls that I have earned some points on, and then incomplete actions. All right, that is the secure score in a nutshell. I do want to share with you guys a little bit of information here about insights. So the score has been in market for about 8 weeks. It'll be, well, 7 weeks. It'll be 8 weeks next week. I'm counting the weeks. It's very exciting for me. We wanted to know, is it effective? Does it work, right? It's a little bit unusual to try to gamify security in the way that we've gamed it. And we wanted to know if customers actually get some juice out of it, if they actually improve their score based on it. So the first thing we asked ourselves is, who's using it? Do we have a reasonable representation of our customers? And the short answer is that while we're overrepresented in enterprise, it's still the right ratio, right? So you can see the red represents basically as a percentage of our customer base by seat segment. We have a lot of very small customers and a small number of very large customers, although the very large customers have most of the seats. So we've got reasonable representation in all the market segments. One thing that I did discover is that they're all very security conscious. The people that have visited the score to date have approximately twice the average, right? So for a 50-seat customer, where the score would be about 15, their score might start out at, say, 30, right? So the people that are coming to visit the score in the first place already are starting with a higher score. So I was like, well, dang it, they have a higher sort of floor that they're starting from. The good news is that over the 8 weeks that we measured here, for all segments except for one, the score improved by about somewhere between 9 and 11%. So as a rule of thumb, everyone's score improved about 5 points in that time period. So given the number of tenants we have looking at it, I'm pumped. Like that is, if I can make everybody's score go up 10% in 2 months, I'm gonna claim victory in a very loud and obsequious manner. So maybe it'll help you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I love it. That's an excellent question. So the question is, why isn't Microsoft just enabling these things by default, right? So it's an interesting conversation. For the most part, Microsoft has tried to enable things by default over time. And what we found is that in places where it negatively impacts productivity, that negatively impacts engagement, which means you can't get the customers to use the product in the first place if there's all this annoying security stuff in the way. And so these are security features that are available to customers or available to administrators to improve the score. My hope is that as we find people turning more and more of these things on, as they discover things, like admin MFA is a really good example. I've been pushing on a default on admin MFA configuration for years. And there's all these reasons why not, right? Like PowerShell doesn't support MFA, right? So obviously PowerShell is a very key administrative interface. It needs to support MFA if you're gonna turn it on for folks. So this score is Microsoft's way of getting feedback from customers about what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And my hope is that as you use it, I can see what you're adopting and not adopting to better understand, as it turns out, this feature we thought was totally impactful to productivity is easy for customers to turn on, and then we'll go to default enable. Yeah.
With a very complicated long link.
Very complicated long link. Yes. So whether it's the feature isn't being used because people don't know about it, or because it makes the experience less usable, or there are idiosyncrasies with your particular, like the way that your users operate, that is not a viable technology. We couldn't figure, like, it's hard to figure out what's the right baseline configuration. I mean, a lot of times customers come to us and they're like, I am a medium-sized financial services industry, just tell me what to turn on. Give me a button that says, make me secure. And, you know, we're like, we could do that, but you would hate it. Like, it would be the worst button ever, and it would never get used. And so the score is an attempt to give you some flexibility, to educate you enough to be like, okay, now I understand all my options. This one seems easy. This one seems cheap. Never going to do that one. And to basically make it so that you're not trying to go from 0 to 100 on your score. You're trying to evolve over time. Small steps. Like, you're going to improve faster if you take small steps versus these huge, like, multi-month, multi-year security improvement projects. Okay, so all this stuff. I'm going to show you guys a couple of resources in my last couple of minutes. I'm going to go back to here. So my team maintains a blog called Securing Office 365. You go do if you Google it on Bing, I heard a speaker say that earlier today, so I feel like I can say that. Securing Office 365 TechNet will be the first option in Bing. And this is like a how-to. If you're a security administrator and you are just getting started with the platform, this is a great set of sort of canonical reference documents that explain how to fix a compromised account, how to use Office 365 activity data to improve your cybersecurity capability. This article, by the way, contains a full list of all of the third parties, third-party ISVs, that have built a first-party integration with our activity data. And my hope is that they'll eventually consume all the secure score information. So if your partner's on that list, awesome. If they're not, tell them to get on the bus and start consuming Office 365 security data. Phishing attacks, ransomware, this thing basically tells you how to detect illicit activity along specific threat vectors by telling you exactly which reports there are that are available to go review, how to review them, how to sort of understand them and make sense. So you can, like, here's how I find breached accounts, here's how I find elevation of privilege, here's how I find data exfiltration. This is a talk I'm giving in about an hour called Addressing Your CXO's Top 5 Cloud Security Concerns that basically walks through this is what a breached account scenario looks like, this is what elevation of privilege and lateral movement, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, it has a secure score in it. So if you're trying to figure out how to get started, if you're already started and trying to figure out how to implement the secure score and the Securing Office 365 security blog is a really great way to make some magic happen. All right, other questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Are you going to add this to the Office 365
app? Oh, that's actually a really good question. Thank you. So the question is this going to be in the Office 365 admin app? This is probably a good time to talk a little bit about roadmap, which I failed to put a slide in here about. So short answer is yes. We would like to have at least a score summary in the admin app. The remediation workflows are a little tricky. I would like to be able to do it like a full fidelity experience in the admin app. We haven't had a ton of requests for it. As like the full fidelity experience to be able to like remediate with two clicks from your phone. It's kind of exciting for me to think about, like, you know, you're in a meeting and be like, take a couple of actions. But at the very least, the secure score report, the summary diagram feels like a pretty easy win. So in terms of roadmap, the secure score is in preview now. As I said, there's about 30, 35 controls that are implemented. Our hope is to release to GA sometime in this calendar year. So we have at least some number of months left to develop. Our priorities are to instrument more of the controls so that the not scored isn't there. They're actually, you'll get points for doing the particular things. To deepen the remediation workflows. A bunch of user interaction improvements here. We would like for you to be able to ignore discrete controls, single button, ignore this. It'll appear in a list on the analyzer page. The ability to annotate specific days, to be able to basically take notes. This is why my score went down this particular day or not. The API that I mentioned earlier for third-party consumption, and an undo button. So when you implement something, for certain types of things like MFA, we're going to make it so you can communicate right from the experience. The remediation thing will give you the ability to like notify the admins, I'm turning on MFA for them, so they don't freak out. So we want to reduce the cost, essentially, of implementing some of these things. But we also want to make it so that you can, with two clicks, undo that particular action. So some of these can be user impacting, and you may think that it's not that user impacting and giving you a way to very quickly back out of a score or of a particular control implementation feels like the right thing to do. So that's the roadmap. Other questions? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. So he's essentially asking, I'm talking about admin, or I'm talking about MFA and users. What about the other sorts of things that are in the list? So when people talk about security, like if you go to the expo and you wander around, account security is the thing that everyone talks about, right? They talk about credentials getting stolen. They talk about the privileges that are assigned to those. My sense is that data controls and device controls are very underserved right now. People don't have a really strong awareness of what they can do. So there are a bunch of controls that are in this list that are focused on exactly those particular things. So just as an example, if I go to data, audit data recording, not enabled by default. That's another control, by the way, we're trying to get enabled by default. Being able to enable mailbox auditing for all users. This is a cheap or free thing that you can do. Right now, auditing is enabled for all mailboxes, but it's only for non-owner access. So if a user logs into their mailbox, you'll see a log on for that. But if they move mail or delete stuff or add a forwarding rule, you won't see that stuff. So you have to go an extra step, enable user mailbox auditing on all the mailboxes in order to collect all of that audit data. There's some things in here about mailbox delegation, using IRM, reviewing things like mailbox access, mailbox forwarding rules. That's a very big data exfiltration pathway there. Some of these things, by the way, so mailbox forwarding rules weekly, long explanation here. The remediation for this, my token expired here, hang on. Filter by data. I want to find that mailbox forwarding rules. When you learn more, we broke the link. In some cases, there's not a native capability in the platform to do something like review all the mail forwarding rules. So we've taken the effort to write a piece of PowerShell script that you can run as a security admin to go dump that data out and review it. So we'll monitor in the back end whether that PowerShell commandlet has been called or whether that API that's being accessed actually does it. But we've tried to be very complete about it. We know that, based on experience, mail forwarding rules are a great way for attackers to exfiltrate data out of your tenancy. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, my talk, I'm going to tell all sorts of horror stories at 11 about exactly that sort of thing. So where there's not a native capability, we've tried to still enable the capability in the way that we can, essentially. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so that's a good question. So he's basically asking about the dependency of controls, like one on another, one against another. Like if I enable admin MFA, does that impact like what my password expiration policy would be? The short answer is no, they don't. All of these are, the reality is that there are some controls like MDM, where I give you points if you have even one device with one MDM policy, a mobile device management policy on it. I will give you points for that. If you enable one other policy, you get additional points. If I detect that that you have just that one sub-policy, like don't allow rootkitted or rooted iPhones to connect, that is it's an implied thing. It's like a sub-feature of that. And if you get one, you'll obviously get the other. IRM is another good example. We have a policy in there, have IRM enabled, and then another policy, which is use IRM. Use IRM for email, use IRM for docs. It's three separate controls. And if we detect that you're using it for email, then we'll assume that you use it, that you have it enabled, for example. Right. Each one. Each combination, yeah. We try to make it flat, easy, which is why the granularity of them is relatively high. And there are some things that, you know, you do one thing at the bottom of the list and you'll get everything that's in the stack, right? The reason why my tenant thing is so high is I have one MDM policy with all the settings. And I got like 40 points out of that. So it helps you explore, right? In many ways, this is about awareness. Do you even know what MDM is? Like a lot of people don't. All right, other questions? This thing is, it says I have 15 seconds. Oh, it says I'm overtime. I'm in trouble. All right, thank you so much for coming. Please use the secure score. There's a feedback widget on the score. Please feel free to give me that feedback. I get it and I review and respond to all of it. All right, thanks folks.